You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. Today's show is going to offer a little more perspective on the Tennessee football team's spring practice. Patrick Brown of GoVols 247 is going to join the show coming up in just a minute, and I'll get some of his thoughts over the next couple of segments on the big takeaways, the chance that newcomers are able to help Tennessee's football team, and is Jeremy Pruitt a different coach than he was a year ago? That's coming up here on today's show, and a few more thoughts on newcomers' potential impact on Tennessee's football team, which has been part of the discussion the last couple of shows. I'll get to that right here on Locked On Vols, and you can find it every day on the Himalaya app, as well as Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, and you can get in your car and tell your smartphone to play podcasts, Locked On VOLS, and it will be right there for you. Just a quick reminder, this week is a little bit lighter. I'm doing some traveling this week, so we have three shows this week. I'll get back to five shows next week, but just want to give you a heads up. If you are listening today, today being Tuesday, we'll have another one coming up on Thursday, taking a look at Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney, former players of those coaches, talking about what they've done to help those players develop. That's coming up on Thursday's show. So Locked On Vols right here, talking about what's going on with UT, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I want to welcome to the show Patrick Brown, GoVols247.com. Patrick does a great job covering what's going on with Tennessee. Patrick, I appreciate the time. And I want to start out asking you, this spring, it's now over. You had a chance a little more than a week ago to see the spring game, see 11-on-11 football from Tennessee. What are your big takeaways? What do you feel like maybe you learned this spring with Tennessee's football team overall?
Well, I think we got some sort of reaffirmation of what some strengths and weaknesses or concerns, I should say, for what this team could look like in 2019. I'll start with the strengths, and I think there's some nice playmakers with this offense. You look at the trio at wide receiver of Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer, Marquise Callaway. Those three guys were bright spots for Tennessee last season, and it looks like they're going to be the same this season. Palmer was the most improved player for the offense. I think he had multiple touchdowns and at least two scrimmages, I think, and had, I think, caught another one in the spring game. Juwan Jennings looks much healthier, fresher. He looks poised to have a pretty big senior season in his final go-around with Tennessee. And Marquise Callaway, I think, impressed some of the coaches with some of the toughness he showed, because he wasn't 100% and still kind of went through everything. So you had those three guys in with Ty Chandler at running back. I think he's going to be a guy that Jim Chaney, Tennessee's new offensive coordinator, looks to get into different matchups with linebackers in the pass game and tries to exploit that advantage that Tennessee may have there. Kind of the same thing with Dominic Wood Anderson, another guy that could be a matchup problem. Wood Anderson looks like, I don't want to say a totally different player, but he looks much more comfortable and confident and from all accounts. And we all know how Jim Chaney has used tight ends in the past, both at Tennessee and elsewhere. So that's a starting point for this offense. The question is, can they get adequate enough offensive line play and good enough quarterback play and consistent enough quarterback play from Jerry Garantano to make the use of those players? And they still have some question marks on the offense with who else at wide receiver is going to step up. They need some more help at tight end to kind of do what they want to do. And they still have to figure out who their backup quarterback is going to be. And both the freshmen, I thought, showed some nice things in the spring game, both JT Stroud and Brian Maurer, but you can kind of see sometimes their inexperience shows up as well, and that was the case through most of the spring. Defensively, again, I think the offensive line and the defensive line are both kind of concerns at this point. I think the defensive line can leave spring practice feeling a little bit better about itself, maybe than compared to where it was maybe halfway through the spring. They didn't have a really good first scrimmage when the offense kind of ran all over them. But they bounced back. They were much better in the second scrimmage, and I thought they had a pretty good showing in the spring game, seemed to control some things up front. Matthew Butler was a nice story there. Didn't expect him to be kind of a first-team guy, but he made a good move. And at linebacker, I think they need some young guys to step up, both inside and outside, to kind of bolster those positions, even though some guys at both spots had some showed some good things throughout the spring. So I think overall, I think it's just night and day difference for the coaching staff. Jeremy Pruitt knows much more about this team now than what he did a year ago, when everybody was still trying to feel each other out and trying to figure out what the demands were, what the expectations were, what the schemes were going to be on both sides of the ball. And so I think he pointed out on a couple of occasions that this team is more confident and has more competition, and those are things that you can build on moving forward going into the summer.
Patrick Brown, GoVols247.com. With Jim Chaney there running the offense, with the limitations that appear to be there with the offensive line, but the skill, talent, the potential for more development for Jarrett Garantano, how does Chaney's arrival and his presence now, how does that affect what you think Tennessee's offense can be this year?
Well, we heard a lot of positive reviews about Jim Chaney, impact he's had, and I think it's important to note that he doesn't have a position to coach, and because he doesn't, he can sort of have his hand in every position and kind of use his expertise in a lot of different ways. He's coached through a lot of different positions on the offense, so he's familiar with how to get those units better. And I think a lot of people were excited about him coming in and starting to run the show. And he's built a reputation as one of the best coordinators in college football, and Tennessee, I think, has seen the early effects of that. He's going to know, and he talked about this too, trying to figure out who his playmakers are and getting a handle on who he can trust and who he needs to sort of feature and target in this offense. And so it's going to be interesting to see. He's done it a lot of different ways in the past. At Arkansas and at Georgia, his offenses were really good running the ball. And Tennessee fans remember Chaney as a guy that would air it out when they had Tyler Bray and Cordell Patterson and all those guys. So I think this team's strength is going to be its wide receivers and its quarterback, who, if he's in the groove, can make a lot of throws and sort of, put his team in position to win. We saw it at Auburn last year with Jarrett Garantano can do, and he's got just enough time to throw. So they want to run the football, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how they sort of balance what this offense can do, because I think the strength of this team is its wide receivers. They got some good running backs, and the offensive line is a work in progress. I do expect them to be better. There were some good stories up there too with Wanya Morris. I think he had a good spring. The freshman left tackle, a lot of people were interested to see. Kayron Calvert at guard, that appears to be a legitimate move on his part. So there were some good things from the offensive line, but certainly they were a little bit up and down and still have to get some consistency and figure out who the best side's going to be. But for Chaney, he has to coach around it. He has to coach around the offensive line. He has to coach around not having sort of a receiver that can catch a short pass and make some guys miss in the open field. I think the guys that can do that are running back with Ty Chandler and Eric Gray. So he's going to have to figure out what he's got and sort of maximize what this sort of limited offense can do.
Patrick Brown, GoVols247.com. More with him coming up in just a moment, talking about Jeremy Pruitt. Has he changed as a coach over the last year? And some new players who might be able to help Tennessee right away. We'll go through that 2019 class coming up in the next segment. Locked On Vols is available every day on the new Himalaya app. They have personally curated playlists. They have new features every day. You can go there and follow Locked On Vols. Find it in your app store. Search for the new Himalaya app. Can you tell how much different Jeremy Pruitt is as a head coach, or how he approaches things now compared to a year ago when he was taking over for the first time? He was about to become a head coach going through his first spring. How different he was this time a year later?
Maybe a little bit. We heard some of the assistant coaches talk about that, and I do think something that Chris Rump, the outside linebackers coach, said was interesting, and I do think there's some truth to it. I think he said he's trusting a little bit more, and Pruitt is ultra competitive. He wants to win. He's a relentless worker. He's a grinder. That's kind of how he's gone from being in an off-field role at Alabama to being the head coach of Tennessee in less than 10 years. So some of those things haven't changed, but I think as a head coach in your first year, you're trying, and as a first-time head coach, you're trying to make sure everything is how you want it. And Pruitt's a guy that's sort of like, if you need something done, do it yourself. And I think maybe he realized in his first year that's tough to do. Maybe it stretches himself thin. Maybe it keeps him from doing what he ultimately wants to do, and that's be involved on Tennessee's defense. So I think trusting more is something that we'll see if that's ultimately kind of how it's done. He's brought in two coordinators that certainly would be conducive to him, I don't want to say taking off the reins a little bit, but being more of a CEO kind of head coach. You know, with Jim Chaney, Chaney's been around the block enough times to kind of run the show, and Pruitt has expressed trust in his hire, and you would think that Pruitt's, I don't want to say he meddled with the offense last season, but he got involved when things weren't going well. I mean, I think everybody knows that. And with Chaney and his ability to command a room and coach the coaches, as they say, and sort of get everybody on that side of the ball on the same page, and a lot of people have talked about him being able to do that, you would think that Pruitt would stick more to what he wants to do. He's basically the fifth defensive coach because they only have four on that side of the ball. There's an imbalance there. And defensively, I think him turning, you know, the reins of the play calling on defense to Derek Ainslie is an interesting move. I didn't think that would happen. Pruitt's called defenses everywhere he's been for the previous six seasons, dating back to 2013 at Florida State. So I think him doing that is a sign of maybe showing more trust in his coaching staff. And he'll still obviously have a big hand in both sides of the ball, but Ainslie is a guy that he knows probably just about as good as anybody in the coaching community, and Ainslie is sort of his protege and has worked with him closely before during two separate stints in Alabama. So if he can't trust either of these two coordinators, then I'm not sure who he can trust to do their job. So I do think there's some sort of, I don't want to say calmness, but I think he knows much more about his program. He's much more settled in with his program and knows this roster, knows its limitations. Knows where they're good and all those things. So I think it is a big difference from year one to year two. But you know, Pruitt, you know, can a leopard change his spots? We'll have to see if Pruitt, if things start, you know, getting a little tough in the season, if he continues to trust as much, or if he kind of reverts back to wanting to make sure everything's done right and doing it himself.
Yeah, sure. Let's see how it plays out. Results are going to speak for themselves over time. It's at least a positive sign if there's self-evaluation and change has occurred from it, right? At least that shows a willingness to adapt or adjust based on what the results have been so far.
Yeah, I do think Pruitt has learned from his first year, and I think the hires that he made with Jim Chaney and T. Martin and Derek Ainslie sort of proved that out. I mean, I think he realized that he needed a really top-notch offensive coordinator who could run the show on that side of the ball so he can go do what he does, and that's be involved on the defensive side. I think that was something that Tyson helped him lack last season, and I don't, you know, it was a tough situation for Helton. He, you know, that offense was limited in terms of its personnel, and so I don't know if any coordinator would have made that offense light up the scoreboard. So, but I do think that he went after a sort of a wide, I don't want to say a wide variety, but he went after guys that were experienced play callers and know how to sort of command and run the show on that side of the ball. And so I think that's what he wanted to do after what happened last year. And in T. Martin, I think he wanted a guy that was, a big time recruiter. I think he Pruitt was happy, I think, with the class they brought in. And it's a good class, but he knows that if they're going to compete with Alabama and Georgia, which is ultimately what he wants Tennessee to be doing, you need another couple of big-time home-run recruiters, and I think T. Martin certainly fits that bill. Plus, I know a lot of people are excited to have him back just because of what he meant to this program, but I think Pruitt went out and hired him because he's a really good coach, a really good developer of wide receivers, and a really good recruiter. I think, you know, he didn't want to lose Charles Kelly to Alabama. That was something that you know, Pruitt really liked Kelly, and he was probably one of the best members on the staff in terms of recruiting and coaching and what he meant to the program. And so Pruitt was, you know, he didn't like it, but he turned around and went and hired probably, you know, another really strong hire in Derek Ainslie, who a lot of people think is going to be a future head coach one day. And obviously Pruitt trusts him enough to call the plays on defense. So I think those are indications that he indeed has learned from his first year, and there's some other ways too that I think that's sort of bared itself out.
Patrick Brown, govols247.com. Do you think we should count on several newcomers to play big roles this season, maybe right away, maybe August 31st against Georgia State?
I think it could, yes. They obviously they need both Aubrey Solomon and D'Angelo Gibbs eligible. They need the favorable rulings from the NCAA. Pruitt's been really coy about where they're at with that situation, but I think if you're Tennessee and you see some of the other guys around the country that are getting cleared for not having to stay out a year, that you should have some optimism about both those guys getting a green light to not have to sit out the season. But at the same time, you're talking about the NCAA, whose their rulings have really never have any rhyme or reason. So you never know what to expect with them. But if they can get both those guys on the field, that would be huge. Solomon's probably a certain starter on the defensive line. Gibbs play a little bit on offense and defense in the spring to help on both sides of the ball. I'm not enamored with their receiving core beyond the top three, so I think Gibbs can make an impact there. And they like what he did in the secondary. And so I think coaches on both sides of the ball for Tennessee are going to be wanting to get him on their side of the ball. But, yeah, you look at some of these freshmen. I think Wanya Morris, I think he goes into the summer as the favorite to start at left tackle. Yeah, he has some freshman moments, and he will have some freshman moments, but he's going to continue to get better and stronger with another round of workouts to go through during the summer. And we'll have to see what kind of shape Darnell Wright comes into. Is Tennessee going to start two freshmen at tackle? I don't know. My kind of stance on that is if they're good enough, it should matter that they're freshmen. And Tennessee obviously has a lot of experienced guys coming back, but they need to play the best players up front. And if those guys are, if Morris and Wright are both those guys, then they're going to play and they should play. Kavaris Couch, I think, had a better spring than maybe it looked like he was having at times. He's getting more comfortable on the defensive side of the ball. He's not really ever been a defensive player. He's played defense, but he's just kind of run around and used his athleticism and fast to just dominate people. And so there's a lot more of an intricate, obviously, learning curve at this level, learning the defense the way he has, an inside linebacker. And there's other guys, you know, in the secondary, Warren Burrell, Jalen McCullough flashed a little bit this spring. They could add depth there. Jackson Lowe at tight end is a guy that could help. They need more there. I think both Lowe and Sean Brown, who will get here at the end of the summer, can be guys that can play a lot. They have a lot of what Tennessee wants at tight end. And I'm trying to remember all these guys off the top of my head, but Eric Gray is another guy we didn't get to see this spring because he's coming off shoulder surgery. But we've heard enough to think that he's going to be an important part of this offense with some of the things that he can do, his versatility, his explosiveness. He's really impressed a lot of people with how he's just come in and made the most of coming in early, but not being able to really practice and go through any sort of contact work. And he's really sharp and impressed people with how he's picked up the offense already. So I think I named everybody. If I forgot somebody, I apologize. Defensive line, they got a couple guys coming in, the junior college transfers that could be important pieces. And at linebacker, too. Roman Harrison off the edge is the guy. You know, they need people that can be more consistent with pass rush off the edge. And Henry Toa too, coming in. They're going to need probably a freshman to kind of chip in and provide some more depth at inside linebacker, too, with the situation with Derek Kirkland, what it is. So I think I got everybody. You know, it's tough for these guys coming in early, but I think some of them made some noise this spring and have a good sort of foundation set going into the summer.
You can follow his work, govals247.com. As you can hear, Patrick is keeping you up to date on all that's going on with UT football. Recruiting will be a big focus. They have coverage there on that as well. Follow him on Twitter, at pbrown247. Again, govals247.com. Patrick, really appreciate all the time and all the information. Great stuff, and we'll chat here again soon.
All right, thanks, Jack.
Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, one of the guys who helped bring a number of those newcomers who will have a chance to help right away this fall, hear from him, Brian Niedermeyer, Tennessee's tight ends coach and a guy who was named a National Recruiter of the Year for what he did with the 2019 class. He explains why he's been so successful as a recruiter so quickly at Tennessee. That's coming up next on Locked On Vols, your team every day. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has. Rating and reviewing the show on iTunes is a big help. Tell anybody you know who might be interested in a daily Tennessee podcast about Locked On Vols. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So as Patrick Brown was just talking about the newcomers who could help Tennessee right away this season, a number of those guys were recruited by Brian Niedermeyer. He played a big role in getting guys like Darnell Wright and Kavaris Crouch and Henry Toto'o to come to Tennessee. And Jackson Lowe's a guy that could help at tight end. Brian Niedermeyer is going to play a big role in that and did so with him coming to Tennessee. He made a very quick impact. Brian Niedermeyer was really a full-time recruiter as an assistant coach for the first time this past year and he ends up being 247 Sports National Recruiter of the Year. That's making a quick impact, especially with those late closes with Darnell Wright. He had been, I think, a strong Tennessee lean for a while, but still, that was a late close there in the spring signing period, as well as Henry To'oto'o. That was a big get for Tennessee. And then back in December, landing Kwavaris Crouch. So why has he been so effective? Listen to what Brian Niedermeyer said when he met with the media recently, explaining why he believes he's done so well recruiting for Tennessee.
Jeremy Pruitt, probably. I think nobody's a good recruiter without a great recruiting head coach and a great program and a great vision. I'm not going to recruit as well at a much smaller school without a history and great tradition. You know, I think between Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer and the rest of our staff, I think it makes it really easy to recruit here. It's easy to recruit towards Coach Vision, and being able to have everybody here and everything that we're able to offer at Tennessee, it's a lot easier.
But there's got to be something about you that resonates.
I think right time, right situation. You know, I think, again, being here with Jeremy Pruitt and his vision moving forward, I think every place that you go to has had a history, you know, of great coaches, and he's just another one in that line.
How would you describe that vision that you're working towards when you're recruiting?
Well, hopefully towards excellence. I think it's day in and day out, just being the best you can be. And he's done that, and he's moved us towards taking that next step in the SEC.
Tennessee tight ends coach Brian Niedermeyer, a quick Q&A with the media recently talking about his recruiting impact. And as you hear there, he gives the credit to Jeremy Pruitt. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'd say Brian Niedermeyer deserves some credit as well. He, no doubt, made a big impact East Coast to West Coast. He put in a lot of miles over the last year plus, and I'm sure is working to put together a big haul for 2020 as well. Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff, I think, really like the 2019 class. I think you have a number of guys, we've talked about them here, that will be able to play right away and will have a chance to be really good at Tennessee. They need more of those players. They need an even better class probably in 2020, and I think that will be a big focus. I think it's already been a big focus for Tennessee's football team and program. So Brian Niedermeyer looks like a guy that was a nice hire on the staff. He was the least experienced, I guess, of the group coming in when Jeremy Pruitt put his staff together, but he's no doubt helped. And how the tight ends play, that's going to be an important part of Tennessee's offense this year. I think Jim Chaney can help with that. They need those guys to be able to block well. They have some depth to work with, from Dominic Wood Anderson to Austin Pope, and then Jackson Lowe coming in. Andrew Craig's guy that reps there, Jacob Warren. Latrell Bumpus moved from tight end to the defensive line. Part of the thinking there had to be, well, they need some help on the defensive line, but maybe felt comfortable with the other players they have at tight end. Sean Brown is coming in this summer, another member in the 2019 class. But Tennessee will need its tight ends to not only make plays, and I think that conversation clearly starts with Dom Wood Anderson, but also be effective blockers. That's something we see quite often, we hear quite often, from Brian Niedermeyer, Tennessee's tight ends coach. That is going to do it for Locked On Vols today. There is one more show to go this week. It's a little bit lighter week as I'm traveling here for the next few days, but I'll have a show coming up on Thursday looking at what Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney have done for former players who have played for them. They'll explain here coming up on Thursday's show. Thanks so much for hanging out here today. Download, subscribe, rate, and review, and keep spreading the word about Locked On Vols. My name's Josh Ward. I'll see you next time on Locked On Vols.